Customers are rushing to your store. Do you have a point of sale system you can trust, or is it a real POS? You need Shopify for retail. Shopify POS is your command center for your retail store. From accepting payments to managing inventory, Shopify has everything you need to sell in person. With Shopify, you get a powerhouse selling partner that effortlessly unites your in-person and online sales into the one source of truth. Track every sale across your business in one place and know exactly what's in stock. Connect with customers in line and online. Shopify helps you drive store traffic with plug-and-play tools built for marketing campaigns from TikTok to Instagram and beyond. Get hardware that fits your business. Take payments by smartphone, transform your tablet into a point-of-sale system, or use Shopify's POS Go mobile device for a battle-tested solution. Plus, Shopify's award-winning help is there to support your success every step of the way. Do retail right with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/theathletic, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/theathletic to take your retail business to the next level today. shopify.com/theathletic.
Plus minus.
Curry, way downtown. Bang! Bang! Oh, what a shot from Curry!
Tim Kawakami deserves all the credit then.
Plus minus.
Curry driving again. Oh, you're killing me!
Tell Marcus that he asked that question about my defense. You hear that, Marcus?
Anthony, you know me well, buddy. Y'all have a great night. I think you got the highest plus minus in the season in NBA history.
Hello and welcome to a late night contract extension edition of the Warriors Plus Minus podcast.
Hey, Mark, it was good enough to get TK out.
Yeah. Scrambled out here, man. I had a scramble out here.
I was going to say we're announcing Marcus Thompson's contract extension, right?
$17.5 million a year.
Is it not quite that high, but unlike Steve, I got 3 years.
Ooh. A little more security.
2 years after this year, right? It extends two more seasons at $35 million. So it's 17.5, which puts him right in that Greg Popovich realm, which is the key number for the market, right? For coaches out there, for just the per year. And it's what he had to get, basically, because it's where Spoelstra, where Monty Williams obviously reset the market last year. But the more interesting thing, I think, to probably all three of us is the length, which is 2 years, which lines up exactly with Steph Curry. And in some ways, this is another hint that, like, how they're lining up this era to be guided off into the distance. That's how I
was curious. Like, I was thinking about this from both ways. Like, it makes sense where it's like Steve is saying, yeah, lock me up to here. And obviously, I'm sure we've talked about it before, but the money is a big deal to the Warriors. Money's a big deal because it's even though it's not
non-tax, non-cap,
but they're still spending so much money on the roster. Like, Joe Lacob is like, hold on, man. Like, do we?
Well, just like the way they trade Corey Joseph to save a little money here, and like we're just talking about just pure like liquid money that they've done this at the back end of the roster. How about this when they know they're going to convert Lester Quiñones, but they wait 2 weeks because it saves them like $900K. Like, they penny pinch in a lot of ways.
Oh yeah.
So yes, you're right.
So like, yeah,
the money.
So but Steve got the money he deserved that the market said he deserved, or TK, is this Joe saying, I'll give you 2 years, and if we're starting over, we might be starting over with a head coach, too.
I guess so. It's Steph. If I say it this way, he's going to be the coach here as long as Steph wants him to be the coach, and as long as Steph is great and is the central focus. And I don't know, that'll be 2 years, 3 years, 4 years. So that's what I think. That's just some observation of if it isn't Steph calling the shots, if he isn't an MVP-level player, then maybe you want a different coach because you might want to do it different. But as long as he is that guy, it's worth whatever you have to pay Steve Kerr to make sure it's smooth for Steph, it's comfortable with Steph and Draymond and everyone else they're going to put together. And
I talked to Steph about this, so yeah. In the Athletic, we got some...
You got some stories coming?
Well, you give us a little bit of a...
Steph said, no, I don't want this deal. Get him out of here. Give me Mike Brown.
Steph is very clear that he would not want to play for another coach.
It's like, yeah, I mean, it's beyond clear. Won four championships, and this, the core is still there. I think we've seen a team, I mean, we can say they won a basketball game tonight, by the way, a beautiful, powerful statement by beating the Charlotte Hornets, invincible looking basketball team. But I don't know that Steve's job was like in doubt a couple weeks ago, you know, when they were 19-24, but I think it wasn't guaranteed, and Kuminga's not playing, and they're not sure where this is headed. Draymond is who knows.
It was beyond Kuminga not playing either. It was like Kuminga rustling some feathers.
You might read a call about that from me in the next few days, because I talked to Kerr about that after the press conference. And, you know, he understands there was tension, and he understands that there was pressure, understands there are people, not just fans, there are people in the front office that probably wanted to see Kuminga play a lot more, a lot sooner. But it clicked. Like, it was, this is the Steve Kerr poker player. He's willing to wait it out. He's willing to wait. You know, he said, I played Lamb over him last year because Lamb's a better player. I played JTA over him 2 years ago because he was a better player. Now he's worth it. And it happened at the moment it had to happen in turn for them to change this season. You can say it's because Draymond got suspended. All these things happen. But Steve Kerr, these things happened to him. And it put together what they've got right now in a solid way, and where the veterans trust him when the young guys aren't ready, he doesn't play them, and when they're ready, he does. And I think that's really important, specifically with dynastic guys who, you know, Clay's going to lose minutes to Brandon Pajemski. He is. And he has to feel at some point that Kerr has given him every shot to keep those minutes, and I think he does feel that way. And it's the same thing with Kuminga taking minutes from, you know, all the people he's taking minutes from. And I just think this is the Kerr, whatever this is, the magic, the genius, this is what it is. A bit of, you know, a moment when it was somewhat in question, and right when he had it happen, it happened. And here they are looking decent for this season, and I think looking pretty good for the next season. I think it's a two-season thing, and now it's a three-season thing because he had another year of his contract. And it's just tied to the Steph Curry era. It's the way this continues to still feel like the Warriors is with Steve Kerr as the head coach. Steph Curry is the focal point, and you're building around that.
Read Tim Kawakami for the exclusive Steve Kerr quotes. Read Marcus Thompson for the exclusive Steph Curry quotes. I got an exclusive Klay Thompson quote after the game. I asked him about the Steve Kerr extension as he was kind of bumbling out of the arena, and he just said, well deserved. That's all. That's what he gave, two-word quote. There you go. That's a bombshell right there. He said,
"Yeah, I might as well not even write now." I mean, so what? This is a, what is it? Friday against Charlotte. You know, they play the Lakers last night. They played the Thunder. They play. I'm sorry, the Nuggets on Sunday, and in between is like this game against Charlotte. Why do you think it drops tonight? Why do you think it happens now that Steve is signed?
I think All-Star Weekend mattered.
The correct answer was Friday news dump, baby. No, it's fine.
So I think that, you know, that break, two things. I think the you know, week, 8 days off, basically, was, like, important for the negotiation aspect, would be my educated guess. And then the other thing I would say is, like, they're playing good right now. Like, it felt like...
If this had gone another couple weeks, it might have just pushed it to the end of the season, and then you never know, right? So I think the timing was right. I talked to Lake almost 2 weeks ago, and he basically hinted that this was coming. Like, Steve's a reasonable guy. We'll pay him a lot of money. But he's, you know, he was at the funeral at that time, or just coming back. So, you know, the timing wasn't right. Then you're going to go to the All-Star. I just think they knew then that it was looking good. They still had a... you know, dot the I's, whatever. And then All-Star break was the time for them to kind of both sides and say, okay, well, now we're both set in place for a while. Let's just do this deal. And then maybe it takes a couple days after the break for them to finally just say, okay, we can say that there is a deal. Even though they haven't said it, by the way. Nobody officially has said it, but we know it's true.
I mean, and it isn't signed, so.
Yeah, it isn't signed, so you can't really say anything.
Yeah, no, I mean, I talked to some people, front office people. It's done. The bigger question, though, is, like, does this happen if the destabilization of the season is still going on? Yeah. That's the bigger question. Like, how much did this happen because they're 10-2 in the last game, 12 games, but also because Draymond is back, because what is happening feels sustainable moving forward, because Kuminga has emerged? You know,
I think there would have been a push to get it done. I don't know that it would have been done. You know what I'm saying? Like, then or the number would have been lower, or it would have been a debate over the number. I don't think this was like a Bob Myers thing, because as Lacob said, like Myers was like deciding what he wanted to do with the rest of his life.
Myers,
Steve Kerr, yeah, Steve Kerr wants to coach, and he wants to coach the Warriors. He doesn't want to go coach anywhere else. Why would he? He wants to coach Steph Curry. He knows Steph Curry wants to, him to be his coach. But I think there was, like, you know, if there was a vote in the, you know, the Warriors front office a month ago, it might have been a pretty close vote. And I don't think they were thinking alternatives or, you know, that's where you go. Like, what would they do if it wasn't Steve Kerr? Like, what would you possibly do to make Steph Curry happy if you've moved on from Steve Kerr? That's where they keep running into, like, this had to be it. The money terms maybe would have been different. I don't know. Or would it 1 year deal? I mean, who knows? But
I think it feels like it's just wild to think of this idea, like Steve Kerr saved his job in the last 12 games. To me, it feels like it's more of this last stretch showed you that you can be at least pretty good with the guys you have. So to me, if they decided, yeah, we're not doing this, that means Steve ain't the only one who leaving, right? It's like we kind of need to start this thing over in that sense. So I don't know if it was like Steve, like, oh man, if you didn't go 10-2, you might be out of a job. But they got some proof that this thing could work, and maybe now they're like, okay, if we add a piece or two, now we can get back in the mix. To me, that was the confirmation. It's a wild thought to think Steve might be out of a job if you don't pull out that Laker game.
Can you imagine if, like, in the middle of Draymond's second suspension, when they're like 19-24 and all this is going on, they're just like, oh, and also a 2-year extension. Like, that just didn't seem likely. The Steph, I mean, can we get a taste of the messaging? Or
I mean, it wasn't anything. I'm about to just pour water on my story.
Like, mostly what you're saying is, like,
it was just very clear, like, that, you know, it would have been a problem if Steve Kerr's not the coach, right? And it more points to this idea that, I mean, this, as we all know, like, everything is tied to Steph, like, all of it. And now the coach is, and obviously, you know, Draymond is. And, you know, the roster is.
By the way, Klay Thompson's extension offer from the Warriors this past summer was 2 years.
Yeah. It's all got to do that.
It's all tied. It's
although
all tied
there's a couple guys who are 1 year longer than that.
Right? One guy, right?
No, two. Draymond and Wiggins.
Wiggins is a player option.
But
I'm saying Wiggins could be like, you know what?
Draymond's a player option, too. Exactly. You think at 36 he's going to be like, I think I'll test the market.
Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 U.S.-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service at any time. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
And now, two pigeons bemoaning the fact you can stream DirecTV satellite-free.
You see this? A family watching baseball on DirecTV with no satellite dish in sight.
Let's heckle them.
You call that changing the channel?
Choke up on the remote, buddy.
I hope getting all these games on DirecTV makes up for your mother not pre-chewing your sunflower seeds.
DirecTV has the most MLB games. Visit DirecTV.com. Claim based on total games offered on national and regional sports networks with choice package or higher. Availability of RSNs varies by zip code and package. High-speed internet service required. Terms and restrictions apply.
As you've probably heard by now, we've teamed up with BetMGM this season. We'll be using BetMGM lines to make all of our picks, and we'll have special offers for our listeners each week. If you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC, and you'll get a 1-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager with BetMGM. Here's how it works. Download the BetMGM app and sign up using bonus code THEATHLETIC. Make your first deposit of at least $10, place your first bet on any game, and claim your voucher for a 1-year subscription to The Athletic.
See BetMGM.com for terms. U.S. promotional offers not available in D.C., Mississippi, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Available in the U.S. Call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369 in New York. Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP in Arizona. 1-800-327-5050 in Massachusetts. 1-800-BETS-OFF in Iowa. 1-800-270-7117 for confidential help in Michigan. 1-800-981-0023 in Puerto Rico. First bet offer for new customers only in partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel.
Don't forget, if you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code The Athletic and you'll get a 1-year subscription to The Athletic plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
But no, it's always Steph. It's got to be Steph. And I do think, not that, and you know, it was either or, you do this or you get fired, but that Jonathan Kuminga came into his own when he did was the thing that just said, okay, this could work. And when he wasn't, is the only time that was like, is this how we're going to do this? Maybe this isn't exactly the way, but you know, I think it would have been conversations. I think like in order to give him an extension, they would have had to feel comfortable about what it was going to go, and I think the conversations would have been fine. It just would have been more complicated. It would have been like, what, say they finish 11th, you know, Steve Kerr 2-year contract for $37 million. I mean,
which by the way, I mean, they're not going to finish 11th. Yeah, no, at this but point.
They could go 10 and lose that first game. I think they feel better about it with Kuminga. They feel better about it with. It's unofficial. And
there's late night reticence from the one. No, I'm just kidding.
And I do think like the fact that the money's cleaned up a little bit is some part, not maybe not part of Kerr's deal, but part of the overall picture. Like they are, Jacob says they're getting out of luxury tax. Like that's a huge thing if they can get out of luxury tax for 1 year. And it does.
It also makes me question that they could build a title team next year, though.
My sense is they're going to stay in the luxury tax, or they can just—they have a way to get out of luxury tax. But like, what if Clay costs another $5 million to keep Clay, and you're going to go into tax for $5 million? Are you not going to do it just to keep Clay? You're probably going to do it, you know. Or you can go, you know, whatever to take. The problem is you lose a lot of the pieces you would want to use to add players. So maybe they go into tax, get out of the tax, 1 year. And feel good about their roster for right now, and then next year they go back in the tax. You know, who knows? I think they feel good about, you know, moving off of Poole's contract. They feel good about their draft picks. They feel like they can take a shot this year, and that things are set up for them to have the mechanical levers in place. They can be good again. Maybe not as good as they've been, but a good again next season and the season after that. It's just the overall picture. They're not down. They feel optimistic about what's going on. And the Steve Kerr part of this is just one big piece of an overall picture.
I mean, I agree that a lot of stuff's in place. I just do find the messaging to Tim about maybe jumping out of the tax interesting, because I just, like, to me, like, end of a title window teams don't jump out of the tax. Like, you need those extra small pieces that you have to.
It's the Chris Paul. Like, that's what it is. It's like the Chris.
But Chris Paul becoming zero is a lot, you know, less useful for a title roster than Chris Paul becoming two rotation players. You know what I mean?
Can you turn Chris Paul into two $10 million players? Like, you know, something like that. They might do that. And I don't know.
They're going to get a big discount on Clay's money too.
But you're still in the second apron is a lot different than the tax. But I'm just saying, jumping out of the tax is like,
I just think in their optimistic vision, they think they can get Clay back pretty discounted, and they don't necessarily need to turn Chris Paul into a player. I think that's what they're thinking, and I think Looney, and I don't be terribly mean about it, I don't think Looney's going to be on the team next season.
Only $3 million guaranteed on his team.
So you wipe out $5 million right there. So that does give them some, and they don't think that's going to be a loss on overall talent. They just don't, or maybe Joe doesn't. I don't. Maybe Steve wouldn't agree with that, but like they just think they can subtract Chris Paul and Kevon Looney, get out of the I don't know if that the math is going to work exactly because it depends on what Clay's going to make, but they can do that. Get out of tax, and they don't think that's going to be a major issue for the roster. They just think they got the players that can fill those spots, already are filling those spots. We'll see if that's wrong.
It's a delicate dance, yeah. Right? It's basically not counterintuitive to what they always used to do, right? It was like Kelly Oubre, you know, keep the salary alive. Get D'Angelo Russell in here.
Lincoln was the one, he was the one who wanted Oubre, right? Yes. The rest of them were like, no, we don't have to do this. And Joe's like, we got to get Oubre because Clay just got hurt. So we'll see believe it when we see it. But he did say it. He literally said, like, we're not only going to get out of second hand, we're getting out of the tax. I just think they don't think that would be – it's going to be a competitive problem to lose Chris Paul for nothing. And they might be wrong, but I think that's the way they're thinking right now.
I'm sorry, I was spacing out.
He wasn't listening.
Yeah, the game tonight. How about the Hornets scoring 29 first half points?
Yeah, that was just awful. And the Warriors played like right to their level. How many turnovers did they finish with?
22.
22 turnovers. They were kicking.
And not 23, which became a subject post game because the Warriors could have taken the shot clock violation.
So yeah, what was that? He was saying it. Did Charlotte make it? Say they were unhappy about it?
No question.
So this is what happens. Yeah. There's about 20 seconds left. The shot clock's still on. Yeah. Like it would have got taken down to like 3 seconds or something like that, and they would have got a shot clock violation. And honestly, play had stopped. It looked like the Warriors were dribbling out the clock. And there's even the video of Steve Kerr shaking Steve Clifford's hand, and then both coaches look and their teams are fighting, and Clifford goes, "What the bleep?"
But was it because of that? It looked like it was Lester.
Pajemski just throws it over the top to Quiñones, who catches it, and you can tell both teams are like, "Are we still trying?" And then Quiñones decides to just shoot a reverse layup, and Bridges comes over, goaltends it, and then kind of shoves Quiñones. Then they get into it, and then Grant Williams just sprints into the mix to thump, and you know, Draymond Green had plenty to say about that post game. You can go search for that. But Steve Kerr's point was like, if the shot clock's still on, I want them to shoot. I don't want to just take a turnover. I don't know. I didn't think the Warriors probably shouldn't have shot, but I also don't think you'd need to like try to fight.
I don't think Quiñones, you don't shoot. But he's a young player. You got this, you know, the Hornets starters are basically still in there.
And they were pressing. Like Miles Bridges is in the game. He's in the game.
I get that part of it. But you know what you do, and again, it's just like it's these unwritten rules, whatever. What you standard you do is you don't take the layup; you just dribble it back out, and then at the shot clock buzzer, you just heave it.
Yeah, that's ridiculous. Like, hey, you had all game to stop them.
Yeah,
like,
that's a good point. I mean, I understand the players get mad when that happens. They do. They just do. Maybe the Warriors don't. They're saying they don't. I think I remember a time or two they might have been mad, like a JTA might have gotten mad or somebody. But okay, I mean. You do it, and then you got to understand the other team's got to get mad. I think Draymond focused on the funniest part was that Grant Williams trying to be a tough guy running in. Like, it was Miles Bridges. I try to block it. Don't try to score, whatever. But Grant Williams trying to make something big out of it.
The difference between the two. Miles Bridges is a Michigan State guy who Draymond obviously has taken under his wing at times. And then Grant Williams is the guy who, like, didn't he say he was kind of the next Draymond Green or something? Yeah. Yeah. Like that, a little bit like Gobert, there's history there. He'd been waiting to barbecue Grant Williams.
He talked his way out of Boston, too, right? Boston did not love
him. Somebody else made that point to me tonight, post game.
Yeah, happened too. So Draymond was kind of kind to him on that one. But I think Quiñones did not need to shoot that shot. I just don't think he did. Yeah, it just wasn't what you do, but I get it. It was within. You know, you don't know. They're pressing you, and then you feel like it. And if they're pressing you, you can do it. But they stop pressing. Just like Pazemski didn't need to throw it ahead. But I get it. You're just playing basketball. You just kind of live with it. The funny part to me, the kind of the aggravated part to me was Grant Williams. He just didn't need to go run in there because he had Miles Bridges slightly bigger than Lester Quiñones. You know, you don't have to go get his back. It's not like you're worried that Guy Santos is going to go wreck somebody. That part of it was a little goofy. It was like there was no big Warriors like thing. It just was Lester Quiñones and Guy Santos and Brandon Pazemski. So
Grant Williams is trying to generate a culture in Charlotte. Did you guys find any interest in the Curry aspect of the night where you have Seth Curry playing for the Hornets and Del Curry?
It felt like it was. It felt like it was the the playoff series was a bigger version of it.
Oh, for
like,
sure.
We've been through it before.
When Sonya was wearing like the split jerseys and stuff.
But doesn't Steph usually shoot good against the Hornets? Like, he did not shoot well tonight.
Nobody did in this game.
But I just think there was a Kerr set out where he thought maybe Steph's been tired of all the All-Star and come back and you got these games. Maybe clearly nobody got up for this game. The Hornets were terrible. Slater keeps telling me that they're this great team recently, and I look at them, I'm like, I don't see anything.
I never said they're a great team. They had one 4 in a row coming in, so I did tell you that.
I don't know how that happened. Brandon
Miller's having a good rookie year, but this guy just won't admit it. And he tried to tell me earlier how he hasn't seen any Brandon Miller great games.
Every time he looks at Brandon
Miller. And I'm like, how many Charlotte Hornets games is Tim Kawakami? Is he watching Hornets Magic on Tuesday?
I'm DVRing it to make sure I go back through. Okay, now I've not watched many, but I just him hearing all this Brandon Miller. I know. I realize the stats are good, but I just say every time I see him, he does this 4 for 14. I was like, open threes too. By the way, Slater, there were some open threes.
Not his best night.
I'm sure he's good. Charlotte, however, is horrible. What a horrible team there. God, they're bad. They got. I mean.
Have you seen the Wizards?
Yeah, well, we're going to see the Wizards.
Wizards lost by 40 in OKC today.
Oh, did Poole start that one or no? No, he's out, so it's two
off
games.
The bench, right?
Off the bench. Oh, no, it's like it's an organizational directive. Like, he's now their sixth man.
Interesting.
You want a victory lap?
No, I just don't think he's...
We're just going to give you the mic.
I'll just say it's a good trade, even if Chris Paul doesn't help him much in the playoffs. It was a really good trade by Mike Dunleavy Jr. to get out of that deal.
Does that... Like, how bad of a decision was it to sign him to that deal?
That's like people make that point. But, like, I think knowing Myers, he did that deal knowing that Jordan Poole was a tradable asset. Like, you did it to maintain the asset because they were worried that he would get a restricted offer the next year that they could not match. So, like, they froze his number, and Nolan Myers, like, and he's not the one who traded him because he had gone by then, but he did it in order to continue to have him as an asset and that he could trade him. And guess what? They did trade him. It wasn't for a great, Chris Paul is a really good player. We'll see what.
They traded him with the first rounder, though. So, yeah, I mean, they thought he was. Like,
yeah, no. Listen,
and by the way, at the time he signed the deal, like, we all, like, exactly.
it was an asset to keep, who did help them win a championship. He was young, and it just getting punched by Draymond Green, too, by the way. They kind of owed it to him. They really did owe it to him to sign him. And also, though, I think they assumed at some point they could trade. And they've done that before. They've signed guys to trade them or maintain the ability to trade them.
Hello, D'Angelo Russell.
There are others, or even when, they made the offer to Barnes the year before they signed Durant, like, they made the offer to him knowing that if he signed it, they could trade that. And I think Jordan was a big part of it. Listen, they would hope that he would be good. They hoped that he'd get better. I didn't believe it myself. And when it wasn't better and the punch was all part of this, but he's not a good player. He's just not a good player.
Nuggets Sunday, ESPN, 4 p.m. tip.
Warriors win that one. they're going to be feeling very good about this.
So they also had a good night in the standings.
Houston beat Phoenix, so that's another one.
That's a surprising result. Miami won in New Orleans. So now the 5-6 are, like, I think, believe 5 is now 4 games away. And
3 losses.
7 and 8 is 3 games away, yeah.
They beat Denver. Those teams are going to be feeling it. And then maybe they're already feeling a little bit that the Warriors are coming. That's kind of important late in the season. Like, just the feel of this. They might not. I mean, the odds are they are not going to beat Denver, but maybe.
They were up 18 in the fourth last time Denver was here.
They played them pretty good last time. So maybe you guard Jokic when he's rolling to his right and trying to hit a three-pointer. But, the Warriors are going to be up for it. You know, they're going to be feeling good. I am eager to see this game.
Draymond played like 20 minutes tonight, barely played. That's 2 games in a row. His minutes were down. I wonder if that was in preparation for a certain big man on Sunday.
2 blowouts in a row. This team was just not blowing anybody out early in the year. Yet you correct it. It will be, that's a fascinating matchup and potential playoff preview at some point. Draymond against Jokic, where Draymond is now the primary center. They've always wanted Looney to take shifts, and Looney will probably get a mid-first quarter shift on Jokic. But, you know, Draymond primarily guarding him.
They'll be putting Jokic into screen action. I'll tell you that with Steph. They will be doing that. And we've seen the Warriors do that, and we beat them in a playoff series, obviously without the full Nuggets roster a couple years ago. But
you remember, like, how bad that – you know, thinking back, how bad that Nuggets team was. Like, Facundo Campazzo and Austin Rivers were, like, the guards.
Monty Morris.
Bones Highland.
Yeah, they didn't have Michael
Porter. Another guy that TK didn't like.
Do you remember who their backup center, who actually played pretty well in that series, was? Former Warriors.
Yeah.
JaVale McGee.
Nope.
No. What, JaVale McGee?
It was a former Warrior, but I can't remember who it was.
DeMarcus Cousins.
Oh,
he was nasty
Boogie,
in that
series. He had some shots. That's
Boogie,
right.
That's right.
Had some shots.
And then he went out to free agency and got no money.
Yeah, the money was his last team.
He's a podcaster now, so, you know.
Yeah, we all are.
That's a great way to end this one here. All right, we will holler at you on the next Warriors Plus Minus. Deuces.